Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
What difference at this point does it make?
New Monday, how are you? New Monday,
get there back.
Got to work, plan to sleep on
bypass, and he's still at it. And that's what we're going to talk about now for a year? How depressing. Welcome to the Savage Nation. If you just joined me after being away for a vacation, you missed an awful lot because I was not on vacation. In fact, I hit some new highs. I developed a new format for the show called Unprotected Talk. It's the only one in radio, meaning I'm the only one in radio who can do it. And I do it, and I've trademarked the name through my attorney, so go ahead and make my day and steal it. Go ahead and make my day and steal it. But the fact is, this is so good that it's sweeping the talk landscape. Everyone I know who is worth anything in the business is saying, holy God, how did Savage come up with unprotected talk? And what does it mean? Well, you'll find out what it means if you call 855-400-7282, which means your calls will not be screened. I will take you cold. Cold. Absolutely cold. You also missed my great monologue last week on Lenin's Pope. To summarize it, I'll make it simple. Suddenly the Pope pops in as a climate expert and wants to speak at the UN climate meeting next year in order to basically rifle the middle class of more tax dollars for some global aids, global warming tax, is my guess, along with Al Gorleone and the gang. And my position is, when did the Pope become a scientist? I mean, so far as I know, the only thing a Pope knows about the weather is that when it rains, his minions hold an umbrella for him. So he is now a political figure. He's not a religious figure. That was a big monologue. It's on michaelsavage.com. In case you missed it, because you're not going to hear it anywhere else, the report on streaming shows came out last week for the fourth quarter of 2014. And I have to tell you, because if I don't, no one will. Michael Savage had a 25 share, Rush Limbaugh a 12 share, Laura Ingraham a 6 share. Everyone else fell off the end of the earth. I didn't make up the numbers. I have a 25 share. That means one quarter of all the people listening to this show on mobile devices, listening to radio rather on mobile devices, are listening to me. It's pretty amazing when you think about that. And the sample size is enormous, 1.4 million listening sessions to compile a report. So I dominated with a 25 share for the fourth quarter of 2014. Significantly over Rush, who's very good at a 12-2. But, everything changes. Nothing remains the same. So those numbers came out. You didn't hear about them. Now you're hearing about them. Let's see. Email from a psychiatrist, Lenin's Pope, number one on streaming. I finished my work. Good night. And God bless America. I'm through for the day. No, we're just starting the program. I'm warming you up because there's an awful lot of news that's so horribly depressing, even though you don't know it. Now, the big headline on Drudge, who sets the pace of the news, as you know, I call Matt Drudge a certain name, and it's a very complimentary name, and that is that he makes the news. He takes the news, and he makes the headlines, and he decides what people will talk about. And by and large, he's right. It doesn't always work that way because radio is different than the print medium. But Bubba and the Palm Beach pedophile, Clinton, that 20 phone numbers, my God. You know you have to talk about that a little bit. Why? Well, it's not. The main story is not about him with the women. That we know has been going on. You can't stop that behavior. You think he stopped because he became a grandfather? Nah, didn't stop. You don't stop that behavior. You think he stopped because he had a quadruple bypass? No. You think he stopped because he has a Clinton library? No. He didn't stop. What's unusual about it is that just last week, if you go to that article, Bubba and the Palm Beach pedophile, and you scroll down, you see Bubba. I don't know why they call him Bubba. That's like a Jewish name. Bubba Meissa. But Bubba Clinton. I guess that's a southern name for Bubba, an old boy kind of thing. I'm not from the South. I don't really quite get it. It's like a guy who wrestles with crocodiles and eats bad food. I don't know what a bubba is, but a bubba mice I know from, but the bubba thing I don't quite get. Bill Clinton is seen in that article holding two skanks. I know what to call them. It was taken a week ago in L.A. Ladies, Clinton was pictured posing for a photo with two skanks, known prostitutes who work at the Bunny Brothel in Nevada. Now, I'm not against prostitutes. You know, they're human beings who have flaws, and that's what they do in order to make up for their psychological damage. I get it. Or some are driven into it by need. I'm not supporting it. I'm not opposing it. But for the ex-president of the United States to be seen with them, not 30 years ago, not 20 years ago, but last week, and again with the open mouth. See, this is the thing. If you look at Clinton's face with the tongue, there's a certain, lecherous look. He's a stereotype. He, a man, is a parody of an old lecher. It's frightening. So what does it have to do with us? Well, here's what I think it is about. He's undermining Hillary again. There are two alpha people, alpha male, alpha female. He was president. He can't be president again. Although if I think he ran, he'd win, by the way. That's a side note. I'm sorry to tell you, this country is so shot that I think if he ran, he would easily beat any 10 Republicans put together. I wouldn't vote for him. I'm just telling you what would happen. But his wife's running because they didn't have enough with 8 years of ruling the world. So now she's going to run. This is undermining her. He doesn't want her to have a Clinton library competing with his. Because God forbid her library is bigger than his. Can you imagine how he'd feel? It wouldn't work. That's why that's the story. This Epstein guy, my God. Don't these guys ever stop? How does this guy go on? You know, here's the thing about Epstein, the pedophile. He made so much money as a hedge fund operator, I think. But he started as a humble math teacher in New York City at Lafayette High School. And he was so good in math that Then he went to teach at a private high school. And, of course, as you know, private schools in Manhattan are no better than the public schools. It's just that the kids get safer drugs. The learning is probably better in a good public school in Manhattan than it is in a private school. But the thing is, the kids get safer, cleaner drugs in a private school. So he taught at a private school, and he met some rich kid's father who was hired him, ran it in, made a lot of money. Very smart man. Super smart financial genius. But apparently he has a thing in this area that he can't control. And he has never gotten caught. But here's the horrible part about this story. Epstein, the convicted... what do you call him? Pedophile. Okay, he was pedophile. Epstein, the convicted pedophile, according to the reports, was videotaping all of his friends as they were having fun with the girls in his houses around the world. Now, this is shocking. That means he was blackmailing his friends, the powerful friends that he seduced with the girls. He obviously was using for favors. God knows what kind of insider information he was getting to continue to make that kind of money, right? Would you think about that one? Right? That's number two. So when those videotapes are finally released, it's the end of the road for a lot of people. We don't know who's on them, but God in heaven, you know. Then there's the hypocrisy story of Leonard DiCaprio. I mean, Leonard DiCaprio is a great actor. I love him as an actor. DiCaprio has been a good actor since A Father's Tale or whatever it was, A Father's Boy or A Kid in Oregon. I love DiCaprio's acting. But DiCaprio is such a first-class Hollywood idiot phony that it belies the imagination how he gets away with it. I don't mind that DiCaprio has a yacht. I don't mind that DiCaprio has a private jet. I love it. I'm glad he can do it. He earned it. But for DiCaprio to fly around with these bimbos to St. Bart's, smoking cigarettes with the bimbettes, and flying into these islands on his private jet, and then go and lobby for global warming taxes along with you two, another moron. These super talented entertainers are amazing to me. They remind me of the kids I knew who couldn't make it in academics and they went to high schools of performing art. And I have since come to actually appreciate artists more than I did as a youth. I love great art, but I never appreciated the artistic temperament until I myself found that I can, let's say, roll in those areas with certain parts of my own being. And so I respect the fact that there are kids who are not good at math, science, language, literature, poetry, mathematics, history, social studies, or any study that's known to be important for the average human being, and they're only good at smoking dope, having sex, and imitating people, or they have the ability to sing like a parrot or strum a guitar. I appreciate the fact that they need a special place to put them, so they created the high schools of performing arts. But most of them are dumb, as door glass. I've never seen anything like this. They have no idea what they're talking about. So why does DiCaprio have to mess up his acting by talking about something of which he knows nothing, global warming? And if you think that I'm talking out of the right side of my face, not the left, you're wrong. I invite you to go to my website and download Lenin's Pope, in which I say about the same things about, well, not about the Pope, I mean, not about his character, but about his ignorance. Because I give you the facts, for example, on the previous ice ages that came and went, the Vostok ice study, which is very important. I don't think DiCaprio ever went to Vostok in Siberia, in Antarctica, to look at the ice cores. I don't think he went down there and understands that it shows that there's been global warming going on and off for millennia. He doesn't understand any of that. And you got to remember something. Was it not for global warming, the private island that Epstein had, where the alleged orgies occurred, there would be no private island for the orgies if there was no global warming. And then, of course, DiCaprio couldn't have had a party in St. Bart's, because there'd be no St. Bart's if it wasn't for global warming. It would be icy little island. I mean, what kind of fun would that be? So, I mean, they have to be thankful that there was global warming over the centuries, because now they can have the tropical getaways for the trysts. Tales of orgies and young girls being shipped to the island called Little St. James have been revealed as part of an ongoing lawsuit. I don't know. I don't want to really dwell on it, but it's too juicy to pass up, honestly. But I don't want to. If you call, don't call about that. Let's just screen that out. Can we screen that out? I don't want to talk about it. My main theory on the sex scandal that allegedly includes Bill Clinton, where they found 20 phone numbers. Did you hear about that part of it? You didn't hear about that part of it, because it didn't make it to the Communist News Network. Well, it's in the article, and it's pretty terrifying for Hillary. If she was smart, she would just go home and learn how to bake cookies and hang out with the grandchild, because she is going to be dragged through the mud. Well, I'm not so sure of that. With the vermin in the media, I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure that the... do you think Jake Tapper's ever going to ask Hillary Clinton about the phone numbers? No. Why would a woodpecker like him ever ask a real question? How did he get where he is? He's not that smart. Jake Tapper looks like he went to the High School of Performing Art. What else do you call a journalist today? What a psychiatrist thinks of Michael Savage. I got this. I may as well read it to you, since it's complimentary about me. And I'll do it right now or when I come back from the break, guys. Now or later. After the break, you're going to hear what a psychiatrist thinks of Michael Savage. The phone number is 855-407-282. Welcome to 2015 and the Savage Nation, which is the home for unprotected talk.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
The number of women and girls who have been physically and sexually abused, the percentage around the world is staggering.
Well, he'd be an expert on that. So, you know, you can't say he doesn't know what he's talking about. I mean, one thing you can say about Bill Clinton is he knows what he's talking about. You know, you can't say he doesn't. He knows about that subject. So why shouldn't he go into that business, into that field? Why should they pick someone who knows nothing about it? An austere religious figure? No. What a psychiatrist thinks of Michael Savage. This came to me via my friend Craig Smith, who is my number one advertiser and has been with the Savage Nation with Swiss America Gold from the beginning. And he has a friend who left the Soviet Union, who's a psychiatrist, who loves me. So I'll read it to you. Listeners to the Savage Nation were treated on New Year's Eve to a new breed of broadcasting that nobody in the mainstream media can replicate, because no talk host has Savage's talent, poetry, scholarship, ability to improvise and to waltz from topic to topic with the ease of a ballerina performing fantastic pirouettes, or an exceptional pianist who touches the chords of one's soul. His dialogues and monologues are often improvised based on his vast knowledge, and his callers are not screened under the novel unprotected speech. The double meaning of unprotected talk gives a fresh and new dimension to his show. It is no longer tied to one unending topic that bored the impatient Savage, a fiery Aries through and through, sometimes to the point that he had to be curt and cut off certain callers at the crucial moment that were trying to bring about a facet or a topic that was tremendously interesting, yet it did not fit in with the general discussion. Savage is a perfectly clear and intricately cut diamond in a coal mine. He has the ability and courage to broach the topic of the Leninist Pope with his global warming agenda without disrespecting the papacy and Catholicism, telling the Pope to tend to the souls of his flock with their religious needs and to leave climatology to scientists, and calling him an overt Marxist is not easy to do since a discussion based on religious beliefs is so incendiary. An avid reader of the Bible, Savage sees the Pope for what he is, a man chosen for a political role. It takes courage and wisdom to discuss such a combustible topic, and Savage is unrivaled at the top of his profession. Wow. See, that's the kind of shrink I never had. The few times I've gone to a therapist over my life, I never had one who even listened to my show, so I stopped going back. I am so narcissistic and egotistical about my show, meaning I take pride in my work. Why would I go to a therapist who doesn't listen to my show? I don't understand why anybody would. In other words, don't you expect them to... It'd be like, let's say you own a restaurant and you go to a therapist and the therapist never eats in your restaurant. Why would you go to that therapist? You're going to their store, their psychiatry store. Anyway, that's how I see it. So what's coming in the new year? What's coming is great calls, great topics. On Wednesday of this week, I have a very big announcement to make. And I can give you a hint. It's not a secret. I've told you for a while I'm trying to put together conservative scholarships for deserving kids who are in two-year schools and want to go to four-year schools. And I'm going to make the announcement on Wednesday. I'm posting the requirements or how to apply on Wednesday on my website, michaelsavage.com. And then the fun's going to begin. Kids are going to submit essays on what it means to be an American. And it's just going to be unbelievable to see what they write and to help people. And it's a $100,000 total scholarship for five people. $10,000 a year for 2 years is 20 times. It's $10,000 a year for 2 years, which is 20 times five. It's $100,000 that is going to be given to these deserving kids who have to show financial need. If you don't need the money because you got some other money, you're not going to get the money because we'll find out. Trust me. Now, that's coming on Wednesday. The Savage Scholarships, conservative scholarships are coming to be announced. And what else? Oh, my Hellcat is on the way. I just found out the Hellcat was made for me by Chrysler. It's in Michigan. It was shipped to their special vehicles division, where show vehicles of Chrysler are go because of my status. And it's going to get the last roll around, right? And they're going to ship it to me. Can you believe this?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282.
Depending what I'm going to do on the show. There's so many stories I haven't gotten to. How Al Sharpton gets paid to not cry racism at corporations. It's about time. It's about time they got that scoundrel in their sights, the fabulous left-wing media. Did you see about the black protesters who interrupted an award ceremony for a 100-year-old World War II veteran? Very nice. You did a lot of good for your movement. Very nice. You alienated the few people who were listening to you, idiots. Very nice, breaking up a ceremony for a 100-year-old veteran. If it wasn't for him, you wouldn't even be on this planet, for God's sakes. What is wrong with you idiots, you left-wing fools? White cabbie files discrimination lawsuit against the city of Portland, Maine, because all airport licenses went to Somalis and Iranians. Imagine this. Why is Maine so liberal? Say the words Susan and Collins, and you'll understand why Somalis and Iranians get the cab licenses, and white men need not apply. This is in Maine now. You think Maine would be a state? Whoa, they would take care of their own. No, no. All the cab licenses go to Somalis, and they apply from Somalia less, no less. When are we going to have a movement in this country that stands up against the flood of illegal aliens in this country? When? It's all over Europe. All of Europe is rising up against the Islamization, the wave of illegal aliens, and in this country, anyone says a word, they're afraid to say one word to the elite Indian chiefs who are selling us down the river for a few bottles of booze and some gunshot. All right, let's go to Unprotected Talk, line one, name, city, topic. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, this is Paul listening on WFTW in Fort Walton Beach, and I'd like to talk about the vote in the House tomorrow for the speakership. Now that two brave members of the House have come forward to contest the speakership with Boehner, the race shakes out as follows. Speaker, office, establishment. So if you want to see a continuation of the Rhino full funding of Obama's program, he's your guy. The other two are interesting. Okay, Gohmert of Texas is Tea Party dyed-in-the-wool.
I know the whole story, but I don't want to get sidetracked into this. I know the story. I've been against Boehner for a long while. Do you actually think this is going to work?
Well, okay, it's going to work, and the point I was going to make was that the Rhinos have put a spoiler in this race. That's Ted Yoho of Florida, okay? Ted Yoho is a Rhino, okay? If you go and check his statements, he's...
Look, Boehner is a sellout. They must have some things on Boehner that we don't know about. There's no other explanation for him acting like a Democrat in sheep's clothing. I mean, what's the point of this guy? We didn't go to the polls to put him and McConnell the gobbler in power, did we?
He'll be taken care of after he leaves the speakership, Mike. Okay, just like... Who was the congressman that was defeated? Cantor. Well, see, when Cantor was defeated, he was making $193,000 as majority leader. And, okay, he's defeated in the primary. He resigns in disgrace within the party anyway. And what does he do? He gets a job at a legal firm making $3.4 million his first year.
Well, it just shows you. It just shows you that they are public servants. They sacrifice a great deal to help us, don't they?
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for that call. Line two, Topic City. Name, go ahead, please.
Yes, Dr. Sav. My name is John in New York City, retired NYPD. Just wanted to talk to you concerning the mayor and the situation involving the PD. Well, unfortunately, we buried another
you
one.
You mean they turned their back? They turned their back on him, and they ignored Bratton's command to not turn their back on that bum mayor, de Blasio. I understand that story. It's pretty sickening.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't know what our brothers are going to do now. You know, we've had the situation where the night the officers were shot, he went to the hospital, they turned their backs. Unfortunately, last weekend at the other funeral, they turned their backs. They turned their backs on him again yesterday. Apparently,
well, I think Bratton has to go, to be honest with you. Bratton is no friend of the police. He's the police chief. He's the one who lectured the cops and told them not to turn their back on that mayor who turned his back on them. Did you see the story today in the New York Post? Bratton friends firm to get no bid deal from NYPD. Did you see that mind blower?
No, sir.
Oh, well, you see, I'm on top of the New York news as well. But Bratton's not as clean as the driven snow. Bratton is another corrupt politician, in my opinion. The NYPD is poised to issue a no bid contract to a Martha's Vineyard based firm whose boss is a pal of Bill Bratton, who worked with the police commissioner when he was a private consultant. The department plans to sign the no-bid deal with Strategic Policy Partnerships to fulfill Bratton and Mayor Bill de Blasio's mandate to fix community policing in the wake of the Eric Garner case. And take a guess about who's running it. The consulting firm is run by Bratton friend Robert Wasserman. Bratton, who ran his own law enforcement consulting firm, don't you like that? The Bratton Group, before taking over the NYPD's top job last January, raked in more than $53,000 while working with Wasserman on a contract with the Baltimore Police Department in 2013. Anyone see the wire? The firms also worked together as law enforcement consultants in Oakland, California, where Bratton earned $125,000. I don't know what he earned it for. Oakland, California is a crime-ridden, out-of-control city because they have the most liberal, incompetent mayor in America. But nevertheless, the big story here is there's a new contract with the NYPD, will be paid for by New York City taxpayers. They won't disclose the amount of the contract. And Police Foundation President Susan Beinbaum did not return calls to the New York Post. So there's the story of why Bill Bratton needs to resign. He is absolutely no friend of the police. He's a friend of the mayor. In fact, it pays to have friends in high places, as we can see with this story. Now let's go to line three of Unprotected Talk. Go ahead, please. Name, topic, city.
Dr. Savage.
Hi, yes, what's your name?
I'm in San Rafael, California.
And you're listening on KSFO, 560 on the dial, and what's your topic?
I wanted to lighten up the subject a little bit. I wanted to ask you about your Hellcat, actually. I have a 77 Ford with about 600 horse in it, and I love driving it around the street doing the same thing you talk about.
Do the liberals get upset when you pass them in this hot muscle car?
Well, it's kind of a big truck. People kind of look down on me because they think I'm a redneck in this area, but I have like 38-inch tires. And
Well, are you a redneck? Are you a redneck?
I would consider myself a conservative redneck.
Why can't you just be a white neck with a red truck?
I would like that a lot more.
Yeah, Marin County's filled with phonies. Everyone pretends they're either a movie star or a millionaire. They're not. The real millionaires and movie stars don't live here. They live in Los Angeles or New York. There are none here. There are none. No one like that lives in Marin. Marin is full with... either inheritance cases or phonies pretending they're rich because they live in Marin. That's number one. So you keep driving that big truck, and I'll keep driving my muscle car the minute I get it. I intend to offend as many liberals as I possibly can on Highway 101 as often as I can. Thanks for the call. Unprotected talk. We go to line number five. Name, city, topic. Go ahead, please. No answer. Next case. So you got to be ready. When I call out, you don't know. I'm going to hit the button, and they know it, don't they? Robert, do they know I'm getting them? Yeah. Well, how are they not there? Would they fall asleep? Line seven. Name, topic, city. Go ahead, please.
Michael, Byron, yes. Georgia, listening on WMAC, 940 AM.
See, now that's a man who knows his business. Yes, and what's your topic, sir?
Your unprotected talk. I wanted to congratulate you. I've been listening to your show ever since it came on in Macon this time last year. And to be totally honest, I was not crazy about your former format because I'm an insurance appraiser. I would be on the road a good bit. I could hear all 3 hours. But if I heard 1 hour, I heard it all in a lot of cases. This way, you are new, you're fresh, or something different with every call, and it is very refreshing and very entertaining. And I have
well, you see, that's the whole reason I did it, is because if I felt that I was getting kind of stuck with the same topic, I would imagine the listeners felt the same.
And I would like to differ with you on one thing respectfully. I do. The Constitution does limit the president to two elected terms or 10 years. But I don't recall anything in the Constitution that would preclude Clinton or any other two-term president to, after he has been out of office, go back to run for re-election 4 years later.
Well, we've talked about that, but do you agree with me? I said it in jest, but I actually believe it, that he could win if he ran?
Yes, sir, I believe he could.
I believe he could. Absolutely. People would flock to vote for Bill Clinton.
A lot out of him. It takes a lot out of a person to be president for.
Well, think about all of the visits to the island. Think about the visits to those islands he'd have to give up.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, he's not willing to do that. I mean, how many years has he been out of office? Think of how many trips he's made on Epstein's private jet. For the betterment of humanity, of course.
Yes, sir.
So, I mean, he'd have to give up all of that betterment for humanity travel in order to be president. I don't think he wants to live with that scrutiny.
I don't know. He would get Air Force One.
Well, since we're talking about salaciousness under Bill Clinton, I have a question for you. How come Barack Obama has no such scandals around him? Why is that?
I believe they're there. I just don't believe our liberal media covers them.
You know, I have a different opinion. You want to hear my opinion on Obama? I think he is scandal-free with regard to sexuality, and my personal opinion is, people who have no such proclivities in that office in recent times can be quite dangerous. They're more ideologically dangerous. The reason that Bill Clinton was not as dangerous as he could have been is because he wasn't just a left-wing ideologue. In other words, he was other-directed. He had these impulses. He acted out on them. He was more of a whole man than Obama is. Obama is more of a diehard revolutionary, and that makes him even more deadly. That's my opinion. Do I make sense in what I just said? Do you think people will understand what I just said?
I believe they will.
I thank you for your kind compliments about the format of 3 hours of uninterrupted, unprotected talk, because we're going to be on many topics today, whether it's the Dodge or the dodging the press or dodgy politicians. Did you notice how years ago when Wallbanger and others were talking about the ice cream man cometh from Florida, I told you he would never get anywhere, and now he's gone nowhere. He's dropped out of the race. He's not there. Remember I told you Rubio had no capacity to ever be president? How could people be so foolish to think that man ever had presidential timbre, T-I-M-B-R-E? How is it possible? How? The man was not made for that office. He looked to me like an ice cream man in Miami who got lucky. Almost like he was picked, you know, whatever. Not a bad guy, but I knew he couldn't make it. Did I tell you Ted Cruz wouldn't get out of the starting gate? Was I wrong? I'm a very good prognosticator. I really do see things as they are. And right now, if we don't get rid of Boehner, if we don't get rid of McConnell in those leadership positions, and we're going to have to do it because the party isn't going to do it, we're finished. They're nothing but what they've always been. They're nothing but Democrats in Republican clothing. You can call them anything you want, rhinos, schminos. It doesn't matter what you call them. They're not there because we put them there. I take responsibility for getting the Republican landslide. I wasn't the only one for sure, but I was one of the major ones. And my book, Stop the Coming Civil War, remember for 7 weeks, I told you, hold your noses, go and vote, vote for any Republican. Remember I told you that? Because many of you were not going to vote. And I said then after January, when the Republicans take power, we're going to have to start the hard work in 2015 of making the Republican Party do what we elected the Republican Party to do. And that order of business begins today on the Savage Nation. Yes, they must get rid of John Boehner. They must get rid of Mitch McConnell. And they must put in some of the young blood that was elected by we the people. For Boehner and McConnell to go back to this leadership, these leadership positions when they were not elected by us. They just got swept in the on the coattails of the young conservatives. You understand it's a reversal? They're acting as though the young conservatives got swept in because of their genius, of their moderate middle-of-the-road policies. They're totally wrong. They're 100% wrong. And now their message is even worse. Now the message is we got to show we're a nice party. That just because we're white men and Republicans doesn't mean we're mean. Can you imagine a position like that, such a beaten-up position like that? A useless position like that. If I were advising them, I would advise anyone running for office to run on three words, borders, language, culture. And if I were so inclined, I could win 18% of the popular vote. That's my guess. 15 to 18% of the popular vote could be mine. I won't do it because, A, I'm not a politician. B, I can't win. And C, all I would do is guarantee the election of a Democrat. And I'm not that egotistical. Now, this guy Huckabee, you know Huckabee has no gravitas whatsoever. Nobody's electing a hick with a guitar to be the president. Okay, what's he holding? Big surprise. Is he going to run? He'll announce soon he's going to give up the Fox thing. He's going to ponder it, and he's going to go into the... Where's he going to ponder it? The Super Bowl? What's he thinking about? Oh, I'm thinking about it. I'm analyzing whether I'll run. I'm going to get the thing. If I go up there, I'm going to save America because I'm the real McCoy. They're not voting for a hick with a guitar. See, he's finished. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver.
When this came out, you know, I mean, it was a different world. Wow, what a country we had. What a great country. The sickos, the perverts, the losers were where they belonged. Now they're running the show. Could you imagine? It's like a circus. Where the freaks were released from the freak show, and now they're running the entire country, from academia. Wherever you turn, the freaks are out of the freak show, and they're running the country. How many times can I turn the TV on and see another junkie I'm supposed to care about? I love their show, Intervention. You know what I say? Let them take a hot shot. I don't understand this country. Every day, another alkie or another heroin addict or another crack addict or a crocodile addict, some skank somewhere in some rotten... dirty little trailer somewhere, crying the family, oh, she, look what happened there. Can we get her into an invention? Who pays for that? Who pays for the suicidal skank's behavior? What kind of society do we live in that the whole society is upside down? Instead of talking about the geniuses in high school, the geniuses in college, those who will produce and create things, we got the disturbers and the sickos glorified by this sick, demented society. Everything is upside down. And you know who I blame? I blame the media. I blame the vermin in Hollywood. I blame the pervert vermin in Hollywood for turning everything upside down. Those lying lout. Did I just say that? Unprotected talk, and I return right here in the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman?
What difference at this point does it make?
It's just another manic Monday.
Watch out for those alpha couples.
Watch out for the alpha couples. He's in competition with his wife. Look,
we all know that. There was a psychological profile of the Clintons done years ago, and they knew he tried to undermine her last time, and he did a pretty good job at it. He does not want that woman to be president. He doesn't want a bigger library than his. The Bill Clinton library is as big as it should get with the name Clinton on it. He doesn't want a bigger library for her. It's very Freudian, the whole thing. See how to make Boehner vote conservative. Buy now. Stop the coming civil war. Conservatives line up against Boehner. Savage monologue, unprotected talk, Obama's $1,000 meal, Scalise and the KKK compared to Obama and Wright. The Senate's betrayal, that's Dianne Feinstein, who will go down in history as the Quisling of our time. The sister of a pilot killed on 9/11 says Feinstein has turned enemies into victims. Shame on you, Dianne Feinstein, but I've known for years what you're made of, and what you're made of is not very pretty. T.S. Eliot's The Hollow Man comes close, but it's not quite on target. Savage remains number one in digital talk radio ratings. That's a very big deal. This is breaking big news in the radio world, but you're not going to read about that because no one likes me. It's that simple. I don't have any friends in the radio business. They're all part of a clique. I mean, they are. Well, the guys who work with me like me. But the others don't. They're a clique. They all belong to a cartel. There's a nice picture on my website of Leo private jets to fight global warming in St. Bart's. That's a nice, juicy headline. Surrounded as he is. I don't mind that he private jets and he has a yacht. I don't mind it at all. I think it's wonderful that he's a young man who made it on his own through his acting ability. I don't. But the hypocrisy of this guy overwhelms me. Sits there smoking with the ponytail. And God, that doesn't bother me either. That's the look now with the big beard and the ponytail. I don't know what the look is supposed to be. Well, I don't know where this is coming from, the beard job. I had one in the 80s like that. I look back, it was a horrible look. I got a picture of me in the 80s with a full beard. Disgusting. I don't like it. No wonder my mother stopped talking to me then. I don't understand. I don't like the full beard look, especially in the age of the ISIS terrorist. You can easily be confused with a radical Muslim, so this is not good at airport screening. But then again, he has his own jet. And it's very sexist when you think about it. A girl can't grow a beard. It's very sexist for a man to be able to grow a beard. I think that beard should be illegal in America. Because women can't grow beards. And I think it must be offensive to them, like sitting with your legs the way they talked about in the subway last week. If a man sits with his legs uncrossed, it's an offense to feminists now on a subway in New York. So growing a beard must be very offensive to women who can't grow beards. I have a goatee. I don't know. Maybe I should get a full one again. I once had an Amish beard for a while where I had the sides, no sides and no mustache, only sides and lower and no mustache. That's when my mother and all relatives stopped talking to me. They thought I converted to Amish. They thought I was going to get a horse and buggy and make candles. I remember showing up in the 80s with that beard. They said, oh, God, he's real. What's he doing now? I mean, I was the guy who ran away. I was the one who left. I was the one who just did the Splitsville thing. I couldn't. The thought of it, the thought of being a dentist and playing the accordion and dying at 49 of a heart attack just didn't appeal to me. But, look, the thing is, private, why does he have to be a hypocrite and talk about global warming when he knows nothing about it, number one, it's false, number two, and he doesn't mean it, number three? Why? Why is he an actor? So now let's get on with it. We have unprotected talk. I've read you some of the headlines from my website. Who is Jeffrey Epstein is an interesting one. De Blasio. Oh, the Shakedown Al paid not to cry racism is a big story because this one, if we had legitimate journalists, would be the biggest story of the week. If we had journalists instead of Jake Tapper and Wolf Blitzer at CNN, who really cared about corruption, they would have exposed Al Sharpton for the fraud that he is for over a decade. The man is like the Al Capone of our time, using racism instead of a gun, in my opinion.
Instead of screaming, you know, protection, he says racism. What else did I want to talk about on the Savage? Well, the holidays are over. The ice is gone. There's plenty of snow and there's plenty of ice, but the winter, thank God, the holidays, it started with the turkey planning. When did that start? This whole cycle. November 25th was Thanksgiving. It started in October. Where are you going for Thanksgiving? Are you coming? No, I'm not coming. Are you going? Who are you going to be with? What family are you with? Who's coming? Who's going? I don't want to know them. I haven't seen them. I don't want to see them. They don't want to see me. I'm not going. I'm not coming. I'll go there. You'll come here. I'm not going. You're going. I'm coming. I'm not going to be there. We'll get together. Please come. And then at the end is, please come. I'm alone. Let's get together. I don't want to get together. A rotten turkey's not worth to put up with you. Let's go. Let's not go. That started the ball rolling. The next thing you know, it's the Hanukkah job, then it's the Christmas, then the New Year's. It went on forever, and it finally ended the other day. It goes on for like 2 months, nobody works. The mines in America go off duty starting in November, ready, the mines on winter vacation and no working. I don't know how the country runs, because of people like me who never take vacations that keep the country running. I was here during the whole vacation. I was forced to take off for New Year's Day because no one listens, they say. I ran a great best of. I think people listen. And they know about the unprotected talk right now. It's a new shtick. It's good. It's a good one. So let's start with line 7. Name, city, and topic. Go ahead, please.
My name's David, calling from Los Angeles, California.
Well, wait a minute. You're in L.A., and what station? You're listening on the Internet, I assume.
Oh, absolutely. They don't run you here. It's an outrage. I listen on KSFO.
Yeah, why am I not running Los Angeles when you... I know why. It's probably because Hatzenberg, Katzenberg, Ratzenberg, and Matzenberg blocked me.
Yes, that is why. They don't want to put you on here. And we all know, we have seen the effect in the last year that the government has had with talk show hosts being moved to different stations and the squelching, and we know that that's happening. And so, yeah, that's not going to happen here in their own backyard. But so KSFO, it's got the easiest, most direct way to listen to you, and I'd like to support your station to take a chance on you.
Now, yeah, no, a lot of people listen to me online, and many of them get it off KCMO, WABC, KSFO, WJR. The big stations do definitely have good streaming. So what's on your mind today?
Well, I'm calling from L.A. I can't even believe it, Michael. You know, we can't even make a decision that if a boy is born with an appendage, that it's a boy. I said, gee, this is going crazy. Now in L.A., if you're born with a you-know-what, you can't attach a gender to it. And the person said, well, I'm not so sure that's a bad thing. Okay, that's the liberal thing. For all the people to combat liberalism, when you hear, I'm not...
Well, look, let's start with the basics of the Savage Encyclopedia. Liberalism is a what? A mental disorder. Once you accept that liberalism is a mental disorder, you can understand everything that they do is mentally deranged. But they're running the show. The freaks have come out of the freak show, and they're now running the country.
When I say I love it, I'm here in this liberal area. Someone will say something and go, no, that's wrong. That's twisted. You are wrong. And they're like, well, I'm not so sure. It's like, no, not everything is up for debate. Sometimes something...
Right. Some things are not up for debate. Like there are World War II heroes who shouldn't be interrupted by a bunch of low-life bums under the guise of racism. I would have thrown him out of their keister out of that town hall meeting, interrupting a 100-year-old man like that. Who the hell do they think they are? What, because they have a race card, they can play it like that? What a country. The whole room should have gotten up and thrown them out.
And then they're too scared to do that. Now, here's the thing. They're totally misguided to these protesters. Listen, the federal government puts money to be sent to your community through nonprofits. What you should be protesting is not the old white people, but we got a diverse D.C. government of black...
Look, I have an article. Listen, you raised a very good point, that I found an article. I was cleaning out my papers from December. Obama met with Ferguson activists, said he's concerned they stay on course. It was from Jim Hoft of Gateway Pundit. President Obama met with Ferguson protest leaders on November 5th, the day after the midterm elections. The meeting was not on his daily schedule. He was concerned that the protesters, quote, stay on course. What does that mean? And why is the president meeting with the violent Mike Brown protesters before a verdict is reached in the court case? Do people finally understand that we have not a leftist in the White House, but a revolutionary communist in the White House? Do they understand that all of these violent protests around America that don't stop are being orchestrated by Holder, Obama, and probably Obama's brain, who they claim has left the White House, but I don't believe it for a minute. I believe Axelrod is running the entire show. He is the Rasputin of the Obama administration. This is the Savage Nation. Unprotected talk is the game. Line three, name, topic, city. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. My name is Lisa. I'm from New Mexico, and I listen to 770.
Oh, which city are you on in New Mexico?
I'm in Albuquerque.
And I'm actually heard in New Mexico, a city that's been overrun by illegal aliens?
Every day.
Why do they bend over backwards for the illegals in New Mexico like they own the place? When did that happen?
Well, because most of the people here are Hispanic, and they're confused between...
Yes, but most Hispanics oppose illegal immigration. Do you know that?
No.
Yes, most Hispanics oppose illegal immigration. They, of all people, know the threat that bringing in so many millions of people is not good for their survival, let alone the survival of the nation. But anyway, is that what are you calling about?
Well, let me just finish what you were saying. I have cousins that are police officers for the city of Albuquerque and Santa Fe, and they believe in immigration, and they feel sorry for illegals. And there's nothing I can do to convince them otherwise.
Wait, say that again. Okay, I'm sorry. You know what it is? The cell phone is not good. That's the problem. Hollow. Line six, name, topic, city. Go ahead, please.
WPAP, Dallas, Texas, Gene.
See that? Now, there's a man, he understands the rules of unprotected talk. I don't have to say 18 times. He got it right. He's from Texas. He can understand English. What's on your mind, Gene?
Okay, Michael, my family's been listening to you for 20 years. And we enjoy your wisdom.
Only 20 years? You mean you didn't know me before radio? How is that possible?
Well, 20 years. The first week you went on, I was listening with my family, and we never took the radio off for 20 years ever since you've been on. And
I know there are people who are loyalists. Anyway, so what's the topic today?
The topic is... I just listened 1 hour ago to another talk show host, and they said, this fellow said that finally Michael Savage knocked off the number one spot in Dallas. First time in 20 years, Rush Limbaugh is not number one. And he went on and on. So I just wanted to let you know.
Well, what do you mean? A local host? Acknowledge that?
Host, I could tell your caller.
No, you could tell us his name since he was complimentary. What's his name?
Dan Kofoff. He's on 1190 AM.
Well, what is he on? He's on a local station, and he actually told the truth that I beat Rush, that I'm number one in the streaming business?
That's right. 1190 Dallas, Texas.
Well, look, the cartel, the Limbaugh cartel is not going to like that very much. You better watch out because the radio hitmen are going to come to get that guy if they find out he said that.
You know, and O'Reilly don't have you on his show, Michael, because I remember you were on like 15 years ago. But
that's right. O'Reilly and Wallbanger used to compete for me because I drove their ratings off the charts. And then they both joined forces against me because I was too much of a threat as an upstart.
Right, because you could out-talk them and you weren't going
to
take...
All right, look, you know, sometimes you're too smart for your own good, to be honest with you. Maybe I'm a little too, you know, too quick on the draw. Maybe that's true. Maybe I should be a little dumber so I can fit it. I can fit in with the Limbaugh cartel. Thanks for the call. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. So we got to work 5 days a week so the... All right, thank you very much. We got to work 5 days a week so the illegal aliens can live like kings and queens. The slackers who have no jobs can continue to interrupt ceremonies and break everybody's life up. This is what we're working for. Who are your representatives? John Boehner and Mitch McConnell? Then why are they doing nothing about it? Why have they not introduced impeachment motions the first day of taking control of Congress? Now you say, well, it's a moot point. Obama's going to be out anyway. No, I thought about it. No, it's not a moot point. It's a very important move to get this guy where he belongs, which is answering to the American people, and to stop him from the imperious nature of his executive actions. And there's no better way to do it than go on the offense instead of sitting like a bunch of dunces reacting to Obama instead of acting towards Obama. They've got to impeach him. They've got to say, you've done this, 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 and this. This consists in the main of offenses when added together, together collectively are crimes and misdemeanors. They're crimes against the Constitution, and they're misdemeanors against the voting public. End of story. I can give you 10 such things. Not one, but 10. You've all forgotten about the spying, the massive spying. You forgot about the illegal war. You forgot about flooding America with illegal aliens. You forgot about purging the military of combat generals. Any one of these things is suspect and actionable if we actually had an opposition party. But we don't. Even though we went to the polls, we don't. So I'm saying that should have been one of their first acts. Instead, we're hearing, oh, we don't want people to think that if a Republican president wins, it means that it's mean. This is what you would expect from gelded old men like Boehner and McConnell. These are old men who look like they belong in the prostate in the urologist's office about three times a week, complaining about pains between their breasts, between their sternum. They're old men. They're not fit for the job. They're just power mad old men who should be immediately replaced by the young Turks who were elected, or the country's finished. So that's one man's opinion. By the way, the number one with a 25 share on the streaming radio is enormous. Limbaugh's a 12 share. And they claim that the desktop is officially dead. TalkStream Live declares the desktop officially dead, since the listeners predominantly prefer to access streaming radio via their mobile devices, where Savage is king of all radio.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Radio as we know it. Well, he didn't really invent it, but he perfected it. There were others who came before him who were really good, but he perfected the format that we're all using. And it's enough already, 20 years, 25 years of the same thing. So I created something new called Unprotected Talk, where you call the show. I don't know what you're going to say. And I just take it cold. And the thing is, I don't know whether you're going to be a devil or an angel, truthfully, or what you're going to say. There are very few rules other than if you, you know, get hostile, I'll get hostile back. If you don't let me react, I'm going to cut you off. It's that simple, because it's my show. And if you insult me, I will probably just hang up, because it's bad radio. I don't need juvenile radio. If you want to debate me, fine. That I would love. So now I have a story to tell you, because I didn't know whether I would tell you this or not tell you. I said it's too personal, and you really want to tell it to them, and must radio everything in radio be so revealing. Well, let me tell you what happened yesterday, because I had a bad thing happen to me yesterday, and there's a motto, there's something to the story that has to be told. I went to San Francisco for a couple of hours, and I came back, and I figured I'd stop in this Indian dump I always go to, naturally. I can't, you know, certain cars can't pass a gas pump. I can't pass an Indian buffet. So this Indian dump that I go to, see, here's the problem. I grew up poor, and I like peasant food. It tends to be better food. Poverty food is good food, by and large. That's where we all like it. We like peasant food. So I like buffets because the quality is, you know, it's very good. Why? Because poor people won't pay money for bad food. They're not like the elites of America who don't know what they're eating and need a colon bag, because they're eating such garbage in fancy restaurants. The poor will actually demand better food than the rich. The rich don't know what they're eating, and they don't care. All they want to do is get drunk. And so I like peasant restaurants. I go to the buffet, have Teddy with me. They know me. They know the dog. I've been eating here off and on for years. I have the meal. I ate two plates full instead of one, because I don't like them abusing people. I gave them a double pay. Instead of $8.95 for the buffet, I gave them $15. I said, I went twice. I don't want the guy to lose money. All right, big deal. So I'm benevolent. I walk out of the restaurant. The dog starts yanking me this way, that way. 10 pounds, like a sled dog. Pulling, yanking. Drives me nuts. I didn't have time to blow my nose from the... Because the spices open up your head right away. It's one of the reasons I like it. As I'm blowing my nose and saying, Teddy, stop yanking me already. Because I grew up in New York,
I scan wherever I am. I scan around 360, and I look far down the road. I look, scan down the end of the motel where this restaurant is, and there's a wood lot, an empty lot, and there's a skanky motorhome there, not very good looking, a real crapper, a junker. And lo and behold, I see two Presa Canario-sized dogs who look at me and look at my dog, and I say, oh, my God, I'm dead. They're off-leash, and no one's there. They had long leashes on them, but they were not held. And they start to come towards the dog. I know what they wanted to do, kill the dog in my arms. I grab Teddy. I put him next to my head. I turn my body to the dog, and I start yelling at the top of my voice. I try to use the only weapon I had, which was my command voice. The dogs didn't respond. Killer dogs don't respond to command voices. They're murderers. They're killers. These breeds should have been exterminated a long time ago, by the way. They're designed for drug dealers and murderers. They never should be allowed on the street. Presa Canarios tore a woman apart in San Francisco 15 years ago in a hallway. I couldn't reach for my weapon. I didn't have time to do it. It was too fast. It was in the blink of an eye. So I started to yell, stop, stop, whatever I was yelling. I don't even remember. Then I see the two skank guys who own the dogs in the trailer come down. I scream, get your dogs, blah, blah, blah. They're going to kill my blah, blah, blah. One of the dead-eyed drug dealers, I would think, comes galloping towards his dog. I swear to God as my witness, it was like in a blink of an eye. The dog was right on me, a foot away from my dog, and he grabbed him. And I thought about it. I said a few words, a lot of words. Then their old ladies, their disgusting white trash girlfriends, were going up the steps of this cheap motel with garbage bags filled with their clothing, to give you some idea of the type. And they scream at me, your dog was off the leash. Our dogs are sweethearts. You should put your dog to sleep. In other words, they reversed everything. You get the picture? This is how trash is. This is what happens when you associate. You get anywhere near trash, things go bad. I get in my car, I drive away, and I start thinking about it. I said, what just happened here? I said, well, what happened here is your dog would be dead had you not grown up in New York and you didn't scan constantly forward and backward and always look at your surroundings. I'm still a good Boy Scout. In other words, if I were an average American my age, I'd come out of a restaurant, have a toothpick in my mouth, and I'd be looking down at my feet. I wouldn't even know what hit me, in other words. But because I don't act that way, I'm always looking and watching. I see these dogs, as I say, and I see them. Now, this is the killer part. They didn't run towards the dog. Had they run, by the way, I'd be dead too. They walked towards my dog, simply like a predator would. You know that real predators don't even have to run. When they see a fixed target, they don't even waste any energy. Do you know that? And my dog, so I get home. I said to Teddy the whole ride home, I said, do you know what just happened? You almost died. I always warn you about bad boys. I always talk to him about big dogs as bad boys. Because he is so full of life, he doesn't fear anything. Little dogs generally don't fear anything. They're stupid. And he runs, pulls, jumps, nothing. Nothing bothers him. And that's why we love them. Because they go out into the world with such confidence. They're little heroes to us, and we love them. Right? I looked at him, and I said, Teddy, do you understand what just happened? I don't know if he does. We got home, locked the door. He laid on the couch. He wouldn't eat. He must have known what happened. He wouldn't eat all day. He must have known what happened. And I said, Teddy, do you understand you almost died? Do you understand that Dad saved your life? Do you understand why I tell you not to run away? Do you understand when I say stop, you stop? Yeah, I guess he understood. So I haven't felt this yet. I didn't have any pounding heart. I didn't have any PTSD. I just like a delayed reaction. I'm not really feeling it. I'm mentally understanding what happened, but I didn't have the reaction that one would normally get from a near miss like that. This was like a plane crash. It was like surviving a plane crash. Because I'm telling you as I sit here, there's a message in this story. There's several messages. What's the message? Well, I sorted through it, and here's the message. Things happen to us when you least expect them. That's number one. Out of nowhere. That's T-boned in an intersection, right? You're driving along listening to music and bango, you're dead. Or someone in your family, God forbid. When you least expect that, something's going to come at you. That's number one. You cannot prepare or plan for anything. Number two, the outcome is in God's hands. That's the whole message. So what is God trying to say to me with this? I'm not sure yet. It's that simple. I don't know. But this was a message to me as sure as I'm sitting here. Not from a person,
but from fate. And maybe fate saying, look, Mike, you've had a good run. You know, you've been really lucky so far. You've skated on thin ice your whole life and haven't fallen through. Or if you have, you pulled yourself up. You were able to get to thicker ice and get yourself out and warm yourself up and go on with your life. But, you know, sometimes, I don't know, maybe your luck runs out. I don't know if it has. Maybe that's what I'm seeing here. Who knows? I don't know what it means. But this is the closest call I've had in over 20 years. I had one years ago. The last really close call I had that I know about. Remember I once said that cat has nine lives? And I used up about seven of them. I said that a few years ago. I can recall every one of them. I was hit by a car in the Bronx when I was a boy around 11 and bounced off a fender. Nothing happened to me. I was dazed. To this day, I joke that maybe I was killed and this is all a dream. I don't know. Can't tell. Well, that was one. And there were a whole string of other, like, accidents that didn't take me down. And then I was once in Fiji and I worked in a village and I worked late at night. I told you about that one. And an instinct in me said, I've got to get out of this hut. I got to get out of this bure. I've got to go. I got to go. I got to go. It was all Fijian people. We were up all night drinking Yangona, which is Kava Kava. And they were telling their stories in Fijian. And I was sitting there with them as a young ethnobotanist. And something in me said, you've got to leave. I don't know what it was. I still to this day don't know. I got up and I said to my friend Domenico, my Fijian guide, I said, Domenico, I got to go back to the main place I'm staying in. I can't stay here tonight. He said, Michael, you can't go. He said, it's a stormy night and you're going to walk along a cliff to get back. I said, I don't care. He said, I cannot go with you. He said, I won't go out in this weather. I said, I've got to get out of here. And I walked back alone, hugging the cliff, got back. The next day he came back to my village and he said, come back with me. And he made me look at what I walked on. It was a 6-inch ledge with about a 300-foot drop, so far as I remember. Now, what angel was guiding my feet, I don't know. I would say that was a near miss. And there have been others along the way that I know of. Maybe we have near misses and we don't even know about them. Maybe there are angels that protect us from the unknown near misses. I don't know about that either. Because I do know that there are many worlds and one God. That I do know. And since there are many worlds, there could be many events and forces on this planet that we know nothing about, that we like to deny with our rational minds and say, no, it doesn't. The world is what it is. Well, you can look at it that way if you want. If it makes you safer and if it makes you feel safer and better, that's fine. But that event yesterday was a turning point for some reason in my life, and I don't know what it is yet. But I'm pretty sure I'll know very soon, and I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. All right, I'm live. Welcome back to Savage Nation. So that was the dog story, you know, and there's a turn it off. There's a reason for that story that I had to tell it to you. I thought about it. The average American is oblivious to their surroundings. Have you seen the average American? The mindset, nothing is on their mind. They walk out, they're oblivious. Come out of a meal, a toothpick, a normal person doesn't look around. So, you know, they don't know what's coming. They don't see. They don't look. Our nation is filled with oblivious people. They have no idea what Obama's doing to them. They have no idea about the flood of illegals, what that's going to do to this country. They have no idea that we've had a revolutionary communist revolution in the country on a low scale. They don't understand any of it. They don't understand that there is no media. They don't understand that there's no Republican Party. They're oblivious. They figure, yeah, who cares? I can still buy a meal and stick a toothpick between my teeth. But for those of us who are constantly aware and doing a constant surveillance, both personally and, let us say, socially, nationally, we're quite aware of what's being done to us and what's going on to this in this country. The producers know very well what Obama and the minions are doing to this nation and to the family structure and to the middle class in particular. But going back to that story, you know, as I lay down in bed later at night, I woke up, I looked at the dog and he was laying next to me. Oh, he sleeps at my feet and he was breathing, a little 10-pound poodle, you know, innocent little guy. I patted his belly and I said, hey, little fat boy, how are you, fat boy, tonight? You know, he was asleep, but I was saying, you know what one bite from a presa canario, you know what a presa canario is? Think of a pit bull that weighs 120 pounds. Now think of two of them. Now think of two of them coming at you. Now think of not having any way to protect yourself. Now think of low-class trash owning them coming out of a trailer. Now think of no weapons except your wits and your voice. Now think of, I screamed until he moved. Then he came and he got him, yanked the chain. He had a long lead on him, thank God. And he yanked the chain. That dog was a foot away from my dog's face. That means I would have died because he would have ripped my dog apart and then he would have torn me to pieces. I had no way to protect myself. They kill. They're killers. Then what would they say? I did it to them? Okay, so the white trash girlfriends, the fat slobs going up the steps with the garbage bags filled with their clothing right away attacked me? That's what they did. So anyway, what I'm telling you is we've got a nation of oblivious fools who have no idea what's going on around them. Is it any wonder that the politicians get away with virtual murder? Is it any wonder they rob us blind and they now steal $2 out of $3? You know, it used to be we knew politicians were corrupt. In the good old days, they probably stole $1 out of $3 out of a city treasury. I would say $1 out of $3 was stolen, taken off the top, raked off the top, let's say in a city like New York. They raked off $1 out of $3 of the taxpayers' hard-earned money, right? It's probably closer to $0.75 now out of a dollar being raked off by the unions and by the grifters and the no-bid contracts and the this and the that. And the threats and the racist and the this and the that and the civil rights guys like Al Sharpton. It's probably closer to $0.75 now is being raked off the top. How does a country survive like this? How? Well, are we doing well? Maybe if you're a hedge fund operator with a sex house down in the Caribbean, you're doing well. But there's a lot of people who are not doing well. A lot of people who have left the workforce. There's a lot of people who don't work on Wall Street. There are a lot of people who don't get contracts from their wives in the Senate. There are a lot of people who don't have contracting companies whose wives are in the House of Representatives. There are a lot of people who don't have billion-dollar defense contracts for Iraq and Afghanistan. They're not doing well, and they know that they're being robbed blind. You understand that? So that's my job in the media, is I'm supposed to speak for the powerless. It doesn't mean I myself am powerless. It doesn't mean I myself am poor. But if I lose any, if I lose the conception of who I'm working for, there's no point to the radio show, right? Well, what is the point of you listening to the show and calling? It's because you are powerless. You have no way to talk about what's on your mind, and you may not be poor, but you feel powerless. That's another story about the unprotected talk that I'm doing. All right, the phone number here is irrelevant because no one could get on the show. 855-407-282 is the phone number, but with unprotected talk, we're sold out. Line 4, name, city, topic, go ahead, please.
Yeah, my name is John. I listen on WMAL in Washington, D.C. I call as frequently as I can. I'm a dog owner. I have a Cocker Spaniel. He's not much bigger than most small dogs. Certainly he's bigger than 10 pounds. But that happened to me. A dog off leash attacked my dog. I tried to protect him. And luckily it was just a bite on the rump. But I took action. And that's why I waited over an hour to tell you, almost 2 hours, that what I did, I don't know what the difference in the laws of Maryland and California are, but you already had a case where these...
Did you shoot the attacking dog?
No, but I reported it. That's what I want you to do. You...
Oh, I reported it to the schmuck police. They went to the motel and said, there's nothing we can do. The useless, idiot police here in Mill Valley, California.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It's just another manic Monday. That's my Monday.
It is another manic Monday on the Savage Nation. Manic indeed it is. The phone number is 855-400-SAVAGE, but don't try it. We're sold out with the gifts of the unprotected talk. We're slammed for 3 hours straight. If I get an occasional open line, I'll let you know. But I've reinvented talk radio. It's a new format. No one does it. A number of reasons. One, because you don't know what anyone's going to say. You can't prepare for it.
So you can't pretend you know everything by getting the data, you know, getting research done. And two, you got to be quick on your feet and ready to react, which keeps me awake and alive. Along the lines of the dog story yesterday with the press of Canarios and Teddy in my arms. I mean, that's a real story. And I don't know what it means, actually, other than did it really happen? You know, when something like that happens, which it happened, you start to wonder if it actually happened. Is that PTSD when you blanket? I don't know. Is that a PTSD symptom? It is. Is that amazing? I started to think maybe it didn't happen. I know it happened because I did call the police, and the moron called me and said, yeah, we went to the motel and we didn't do anything because the dogs are on a leash. I said, that isn't the point. But so that must have happened because I filed a police report. I told two people about it who called me that night and said, how are you? Are you reacting? I said, no, I'm fine. Both of them were surprised that I didn't react emotionally, which I didn't. So I must have a little PT job because it's like it's not real to me. It's not real. When those dogs started to come at me, I went blank in my mind in that emergency situation. And I said, this dog is dead. I just saw the dog is dead. And I'm going to be ripped to shreds. So I immediately reacted because I knew if I ran away, the dogs would have killed me. That's the worst thing you can do is run from the attacking animal because there's a law of the jungle which says we pursue that which retreats, whether it's in a love affair or in a predator affair. We pursue that which withdraws or that we pursue that which retreats. That you should know for your love affairs, by the way. That if you continue to run after her, she's going to reject you. No, it's just it's the way it is. You could love them and they could love you, but I don't know what it is. Just people follow their animal instinct. So when the dogs, I just yelled as loud. I used my command voice, and at least I got the owners of the dogs, if you want to call them that, to come out and grab the chain in time. But it's like watching a crocodile snap his jaw shut and miss your child. And say, woo, that was a close one. But, you know, it was like in the blink of an eye. There it was. People have said that to me, right? Your whole life, and you don't believe them. That things happen to you and you can't prepare for it. We all like to believe we're always going to be prepared. And then you get a T-bone job in an intersection. And someone in your family gets crushed or you get killed. You didn't expect that. Or out of the blue, you get a nice cancer diagnosis when you had no pain. And 2 months later, they got the box ready. I mean, you know, things happen. We don't know how these things happen. This is life. It's full of chance. Most of us don't want to believe that. And I guess you have to run your life as though there is no chance. I have. See, the reason I'm so successful, despite all of the obstacles put in my way, when I look back on my life, it's because I've lived in a state of unreality in many ways. And part of the unreality I have to live in is that nothing bad will happen to me. I'll get ahead. Nothing. You know, that power of positive thinking that we all teach ourselves to engage in. And it's called actualization. You make yourself believe things will happen, and they do. And it really does work because you start, not only do you start behaving differently, but people behave differently to you, and you activate things in your life. I actually, though, believe you start to control, in a strange way, by the power of the will, you start to control events around you through some fields of energy that I don't understand. And that's why when you get into a negative state of mind, you really can bring the world down upon your head. Now, the reverse of this, when it's carried to its extreme, and it's an extremely dangerous place to be in, is Obama. This is the narcissistic syndrome that leads him to believe he can get away with anything he wants to get away with. So he continues to deny there was an election. He continues to spit on Boehner and McConnell. God knows how he gets away with it, but he does. And so this is a dangerous thing for the United States of America. Icarus flew too close to the sun. The wax melted on his fake wings, and he crashed to Earth. You understand that? Many of us think that we are above the laws of nature and the laws of reality. And this is common, by the way, in driven people. It's common in successful people. It's common in many endeavors. I don't know what it could be anything, whether you built a career as an accountant. You had to overcome obstacles every day to be an accountant or a dentist or a doctor, a lawyer, a plumber, whatever you have to do. You have to fight for your niche. So you got to tell yourself you're the best, you're going to make it, this and that. And it works if you keep pushing yourself, and you will. You'll make it work. But there are situations that are like tidal waves where no matter what you do, you're going to be swept over by them. If you've ever been hit by a wave on a beach,
Oh, that was another near miss when I was a kid, around 9. I remember it just came back. See, I blanked it out. I remembered it once or twice. I went to Jones Beach one summer. My father, one of the rare days he took off, a blistering hot day, who knows when. And we never went to the beach, so it was a celebration for me, for my father to take a day off to be with us. Went to the beach, the basket, it was a lot of fun with the chair, with the umbrella, with the... And I went in the water, I got separated from the family. I don't know how old it was, 9, who knows how old, 7, 9. I remember being pulled out in an undertow and being sucked underwater, and there was nothing I could do about it. The power of the undertow was so strong that all I did was being pulled out like a minnow. Do you ever get that feeling of powerlessness? Many of you understand this. Sucked out underwater, upside down, downside up, spinning around like a paramecium in an experiment. I didn't know up from down. I didn't know where the ground was. I didn't know where the up was. And I didn't think I was going to die. I didn't know where I was. I knew enough to keep my mouth shut. That I knew. And I didn't panic and gulp water and die. And by a miracle, a wave threw me onto the beach. The same water that miraculously pulled me out threw me back on the beach. So what is that? What are these stories about? They're all real. What are they telling me? I don't know what they're telling me. I have no idea what they're telling me. I have a mission. I have a goal. Well, I try to fulfill it every day on the show, but is there something more? Is there something less? Have I run the course? Have I run out of luck? Is it over? I don't know. You run out of luck when it's over. It's not over yet. It's a warning for sure. I mean, it's definitely a warning that something can come out of nowhere and catch you off guard. See, this is the problem with people. I got to explain something that's been on my mind for many years now. Good at martial arts, and I admire them immensely. I've always wanted to be an expert martial arts and I've seen guys who are so good they make you say, how can they be a human being? They come up against a 14-year-old punk with a gun, they're dead. And there was a story like that in San Francisco. Chinese guy, black belt, one of the best. Some punk kids did something to his car. He ran out, they shot him and killed him in the street. So what I'm saying is you can only prepare so much. And then there's a degree of risk-taking that makes no sense whatsoever. You have to contain your sense of indomitability. You have to contain your sense of indestructibility, rather. And that's a tough lesson for anyone to learn who's driven and wants to keep pushing themselves. Anyway, I'm just, I'm musing. That's all. Today is musing. Musing, a musing Monday. Musing on Monday on the Savage Nation. Okay, we now go to callers on Unprotected Talk. Any topic, 855-47282. Line 7, name, city, topic. Go ahead, please. A dud. A zinger. Line 1, name, city, topic. Go ahead, please. Line 2, that's a dead job. Line 2, name, city, topic. Go ahead.
Michael from Long Island, New York.
And what are you listening on, ABC?
Yes, sir.
And topic?
Well, the topic is about Teddy. I was listening to you, and I have a little dog, and he's like my best friend. And like, Teddy's yours. I listen to you every day, Michael. And
thank
I
you.
Get an enormous amount of joy from listening to you. You're so sincere, and you're so articulate, and you just put things across in a way that... it's gratifying to me. Entertaining.
Well, because I speak your language. In other words, I speak the way men used to speak in America. From all races and from all backgrounds, they understood things and they talked like real. Talk reality talk. They didn't mince words. That's all. That's what I grew up with. So that's why people relate to me. It's like, wait a minute, where's this coming from? So it's unusual to you in the world that we live in with liars out there or people who can't even articulate themselves. But it's really not that unusual from the world in which I grew up.
Well, just like the other day when I was listening to you, you talked about your dad. You took me back to when I'm 50 years old, and when I was, a kid, my dad would always put me down. He'd always knock me down. He'd say, Mike, you're never going to amount to nothing. And your dad did the same thing. And I'm like, I can relate to Michael Savage. I can relate to this man.
Well, let me ask you something. Was your father right?
No, I own a successful dumpster company. I'm a professional musician. And I wanted to call you. Part of the reason why I wanted to call you, Mike, is because I think that when you did that to us, they made us pissed off enough to say, you know what, I'm going to prove you wrong. Every time you come up and taste success, you want to be better.
No, I understand that. They were doing it for our own good, so to speak. But guess what? I raised my children the exact opposite way. I never told them they were no good. I never told them they'd not amount to anything. I used the exact opposite. I used positive reinforcement, and they wound up better than me.
Yes.
So just think of what you and I could have been had we had positive fathers instead of negative fathers. No, you think about that. You'd have 10 successful businesses instead of 9. And instead of me being number one on streaming radio, I'd be, I don't know, instead of having a 25 share, I have a 35 share. I don't know what it would mean.
Hey, Michael, you're funny. I have to share something with you really quickly. I know time is of essence for you when you're taking calls. But, you know, you speak a lot about God. It's part of your daily conversation. It's peppered in between everything that you're saying, you know?
I always talk about death and God, yes, every day, repeatedly.
You do. And if I could tell you a story real quickly, I know there's other calls that are waiting to get in. I woke up about a year and a half ago in the middle of the night, and I was talking to God like I'm talking to you right now, Mike, and I'm like, God, if you're hearing me, if you're there, if you're somewhere in the universe, please take away some of this pain that's coming into my life. And I actually, at that moment, denounced God for a minute. And now, being a professional musician, I got guitars all around me and notebooks and pens and paper, and I couldn't go back to sleep. I wound up writing a song called The Unknown Author, which I translated over into a poem, much like Footprints in the Sand. It's like a 30-second poem.
Wait. You're losing me for a minute. You were asking God to eliminate the pain in your life. What pain was that?
Well, I have a son that I couldn't... The court systems were not allowing me to see my 11-year-old son.
All right, hold on. So, wait a minute. Did that get resolved to your satisfaction as a result of your prayer?
It did.
Well, you wouldn't be the first person on earth to say that prayer worked. You know that.
No.
You know, a famous rabbi once said to me when I scoffed and I said, why, if God is so powerful, does he need us to pray to him? And you know what the rabbi said to me? He said, God doesn't need you to pray to him. You need to pray to God. Man needs to pray to God, he said to me. God doesn't need you to pray to him. Man must pray to something greater than himself. Hold on a minute. I mean, that's something that's not taught in the churches anymore. Is God doesn't need you. You need God. You need to pray to a greater power. It's the basics to anything in this world. You have to come to the understanding one day that you don't control everything. So there, I've just answered my own question. Why did the dogs come at me? Maybe I got a little too arrogant. Maybe I stopped realizing that I needed to ask God a little bit more to protect me. Okay, I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. When love comes to town, I'm going to jump that train. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah, well, that's what I talk about when I was just giving it a little lecture on taking chances. You know, I mean, how much of a chance do you want to take with anything anymore in this world? I talk about unprotected talk. Maybe I should go back to protected talk and have it screened and have, like everyone else, fake callers altogether. Yeah, many of them don't have callers. I mean, I'm just telling you like it is. They have like a set group, like an orchestra. 5-10 people have them call with the like it's Obama with pre-questions from CBS, ABC, and NBC. You know, hello, yeah, John from Cincinnati. Yeah, what do you want to say today? I mean, we've got the whole script written out. So that's a safe way to do radio, but I think you can read through it. Look at the headline on poor Fox News, what it's become. GOP wave rolls into D.C. Freshman class vows focus on jobs. Duh. That's their big thing, is jobs, not the invasion from Central America and Mexico. That's their big thing, is jobs. You hear this? You see what the setup is? This is this message is coming out of the Better Business Bureau and John Boehner. 71 new members arrive in Washington this week as the new Congress prepares to tackle weighty issues. And the biggest issue is jobs, 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 jobs. That's the big issue. There's not one word about social issues, not one word about borders, not one word about language, not one word about culture, not one word about the degeneracy of our culture, not one word about the pornography epidemic, the drug epidemic. There's not one word about the medication of our children epidemic, not one word about topics that are of the utmost importance for the survival of this country. Not one word. So it's, when I say there's an oligarchy and a one-party system, am I far from the truth? No. Everybody knows I'm telling you the truth, and you know it too. You know it in your heart. Unprotected Talk, 855-400-7282. It's the Savage Nation. Very important that you understand that this is a unique change, a sea change, as it is called, in the history of talk radio. What I'm doing has never been done. It hasn't been done. Well, it has been done, but it's not been called Unprotected Talk. Of course there have been people who have taken calls on screen, but not under the title Unprotected Talk. Someone will rip it off now, say they invented it in 1914. There's a fool in the media who says that they preceded me with liberalism as a mental disorder. When? Can anyone show me who used that before me? It was a book, 2005, Liberalism as a Mental Disorder. Everything I've invented, someone else says they invented before me. It's like Al Gore with the internet. Savage Nation, be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. It's all a miracle. It's all a game. No one knows how it ends. You know, I ran into a neighbor. I rarely see him once a year. I say hello to him. Nice guy, I know. And so I was bicycling by him, and I said, hey, happy. I said, have a good New Year. He said, we get what we're going to get. Older Italian guy, really heavy-duty dude. I had a big laugh over it. I laughed on the bicycle, and he laughed because of my laugh. You know, like, some people are fatalistic about what's coming. They don't take it that, like, they can control that much, you know. I don't know. I mean, can you control it all? You can control an awful lot of your life. But when that T-bone hits you, or whatever, the diagnosis or the dogs, you know, you start to think, I mean, maybe a little PTSD, Joe. Because I blacked it. Like, did it really happen? How could it have happened? How close was it? Am I exaggerating? It wasn't exaggerating. It was really that close, the dog. And I look at the, I just looked at his clothes. You know, he's gone for the day. He's with with Irene, the dog setter. He goes Monday and Friday. So I'm here at home. I'm broadcasting from one of my hidden locations. And, you know, on the floor of my little dog, I see the blanket he likes to rip apart. He's been doing it for 10 years. I call it his wife. He doesn't just chew on it, okay? But it's like an indestructible green and like a fur blanket. I don't know how they make anything like this. He tears at it and doesn't rip. And then there's the little toys he plays with the things that make noise, and a fake bagel that he bites, and another dog. I look at all the things. It's like, you know, what if he got killed in my arms? What would it look like to me today, those things? Is this too maudlin for you? Maybe it shouldn't be like radio. Maybe I should be screaming about Obama. Maybe this isn't good radio. I don't know. You know, like, I can't think about what's good radio and bad radio. All I can do is, like, one from the heart. It's that simple. I got to give you what's on my mind, or it's not going to be of any interest to you or me. The truth about radio, by the way, that very few people know, some do, the good ones know it, is that it's got to be real for the host, because we don't have legs, we don't have lipstick, we don't have a silhouette figure to sit sideways like on Fox News. How do those girls take themselves? I don't understand it. I mean, the Bunny Ranch, the girls will look like they're more honest to me than what I see now on Fox News. At least they know what they are at the Bunny Ranch. These girls sit there like they're geniuses. The people don't even know. The listeners are not listening to them. They're looking at them. That's all. It's a good format. Maybe they've had their run, too. You never know. But the thing is, things change. And everyone's bored. They're jaded. They don't know where to go for the next thrill, where to go for the next hit. So my gamble is that Unprotected Talk will work for me. I'll know in 3 months. I'm going to do it for 3 straight months until I find out if it's affected my listenership one way or the other, in which case I may or may not change back to the old format. I don't know. I'm kind of enjoying it. Or I may do it 1 hour a day instead of three. Right now I like it for 3 hours because it's keeping me going for the full 3 hours. My TSL for the streaming revenue radio is amazing. 25 share, Rush Limbaugh 12 share, Laura Ingraham 6 share, the rest fall off the cliff. Hannity's only a 3.8 share. That's amazing. How is that possible?
1.4 million listening sessions, and he says the desktop is dead since the listeners predominantly prefer to access streaming talk radio via their mobile devices. TSL mobile users represent more, but most of my listenership is not on streaming devices. It's on terrestrial radio stations. Let's not forget that. Let's never forget that the power of radio is still driven by the stations on which you're listening. The big ones, the small ones, the thousands of radio stations in America are still the meat and potatoes of radio. Let's not forget that and get carried away. And that's a different rating system altogether. So, you know, that's another story that I can't go into. I can't talk about that. I think. And I have nothing to say about it anyway. So we're going to go back now to the unprotected talk format. Remember the rules. I call you. I say you're on the air. You say name, city, topic. Line number one, name, city, topic. Go ahead, please.
I didn't hear
names.
The number. Is it me?
Yes. Name, city, topic.
Lance, KSFO, San Francisco, 560 amplitude modulation. Now, some years ago, you had a problem in a crosswalk in San Francisco where a wrong-way bicyclist nearly nailed you.
You're right. I almost got killed. And what happened then?
I don't know. What was the message? Did God have a message?
Yeah, that's amazing. You brought that back to me. I was almost killed by one of these vermin in San Francisco, these speedsters on bicycles who should be arrested for homicide or attempted homicide. Even when they kill someone, they're protected by this dumb mayor. But the fact is, he was coming the wrong way right near the ferry terminal. He missed me by an inch. I started screaming at him. Of course, he was younger than me and stronger than me. He got off his bike and pulled out a bike tool and started to come at me. I was 25 years older than him. Again, I stood my ground because I'm a little idiotic sometimes. A black man came out of nowhere who looked like Jimi Hendrix's ghost. I swear to God, it was like Jimi Hendrix came back from heaven. He had white hair, black guy. You never saw him in the neighborhood. Came over and he said, "Hey guys, cool it. Cool." He got between us, cooled it down. We both walked away and the black guy disappeared. What was that about?
Well, Michael, I found it very profound that there was the intervention by an individual just on the street, and that's what made that story stick in my head.
Yeah, but who was that black guy? He didn't even look real to me.
Yeah, well, intervention.
He looked like a ghost. He didn't look real. He was a black man with like really, really weird gray hair, and he was a twin for an older Jimi Hendrix.
Okay, here's something I want to comment to you.
Yeah, but wait, my friend, nobody intervened yesterday when those dogs came running at me and Teddy.
No,
so God intervened and permitted me to act quickly and use my command voice to at least get the owner idiots out of their white trash trailer to come and grab the dog's chain just in the nick of the jaw snap.
There you go. Let's just talk briefly about etymology. You say that Mr. Huckabee has no gravitas, but I'm pretty sure he's above 150 kilograms, if you know what I mean.
150 kilograms of brain matter.
Something. Yeah.
Well, not kilogram. He could not have 150 kilos of brain.
He's got 150 kilos of something. So there's some.
He's a nice man. He's a smart man. He cannot ever in a million years become president.
Here.
This is it's purely a publicity stunt. It's an outrage for people to think that anyone cares about them like that.
Yeah, maybe his contract at Fox was up.
Well, he was dumped off the radio. I mean, it's no secret. Unceremoniously thrown off the radio a few months ago. I mean, why hide that? Mm. What, I have to affront now for Huckabee?
Very good.
He was thrown off the air. He had no audience. I mean, very nice man, but no one listened to him. And that's the same thing if he runs for office. No one's going to care.
I think there is one genius at Fox, but she doesn't cross her legs.
Who?
Megan.
Oh, she's great, but I call her Martha Washington. She doesn't even understand why I call her that.
Hmm.
I don't know how she balances children, career, and beauty all at once. I don't know how she does that.
Well, let's hope she can keep doing it, because I'd hate to see her break.
No, I don't know how she does it. I admire her enormously. She's an example of the perfect woman. But I don't know how perfect women can go on like that forever. Something happens.
If you don't cross your legs...
Eventually, they wind up looking like Scarface and have to go to a plastic surgeon.
I'm glad you're safe, Michael, and here to Teddy.
All right. Thank God. Teddy's having a good day at the groomer. I don't know if he knows what happened. I remind him, but I think the dogs have memories. I don't know. Is there a dogologist in the house? Do they have memories? Do they know? Do they remember these things? You know, like if you happen, like a kid, you had a near miss with a kid. It's the beauty of a human being. You can talk to the child about it for months or years later, say, wait a minute, now you're acting up again. You're running out of the car when I open the door. Don't you remember what happened when you did it and you almost got run over? You make the kid look at you. You hold his shoulders and you look in his eyes. No, you can't do it again, Johnny. Remember when you ran out of the car, you almost got hit by a, right? Yes, Danny. If you say it enough, they'll remember it and they learn a lesson. Can a dog remember that, you know, something, I don't know. I don't know how dogs work. Do they see in black and white or color? I never remember reading that part of it. I know when I'm watching TV at night, he tries to pretend he's not watching, but he is watching. I like to see what he likes. Boxing. He likes World War II. He likes black and white a lot. I think he can see it better. And he lays there with his head in between his legs how they look. I have to get down on my knees and sneak by under the foot of the bed and look into his eyes to see if I can see the reflection of the screen, to see if he's watching. Now, I have certain games with my dog. It's amazing how dogs keep you sane. They really do. Unless that's not sane. Who knows? Maybe it's crazy. If it's crazy, who am I hurting? Am I hurting somebody by talking to him? It's amazing. 855-407-282, death on the slope. Two top U.S. ski prospects die in Austrian avalanche. Sad story, young guys. Death of two young guys. Look at that. Talk about tragedy. I bet they didn't think that could happen. Two U.S. ski team prospects killed in avalanche. Two of America's brightest young ski prospects were killed Monday when an avalanche struck the Austrian Alps slopes where they were training for an international competition. Ronnie Burlak, 20, of Franconia, New Hampshire, and Bryce Astle, 19, of Sandy, Utah, died in the incident near the Rettenbach Glacier near Solden, the venue for the annual season-opening World Cup races. Four of the skiers who were practicing with them managed to ski out of the massive slide and emerged unscathed. So, what does that tell us? Did they think that they were vulnerable? No. They have to feel like they're invulnerable. You know, you talk about extreme sports of any kind. How can a woman or a man get into that unless they feel they're immortal, frankly? That's the beauty of being young. You think you're immortal, and you have to have that concept to fly an airplane, to fly a fighter jet, to be in the special forces, to be in the Delta forces. I mean, don't you have to think you're invulnerable and you're on the right side of things? Of course you do. And then when you have a feminized command structure in the military that starts to tell you that you have white privilege and you don't deserve to live and your country's no good, tell us what that's doing to the morale of the military, Mr. Obama. Tell us what you've done to the military through your feminist hacks who have destroyed the entire command structure, Mr. Obama. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver.
52 minutes after the hour, a little doo-wop. It's beautiful, isn't it? It's just beautiful. There's no editorializing required.
But that's the world it was, not the world it is. Welcome to the Savage Nation. 18,000 people turn out for an anti-Muslim march in Germany, despite the pleas of the Quisling Merkel. Merkel cares more about the Muslim invasion than she does about the Germans. Who is she supposed to be the president of? Sound familiar to you? Why is it that all leaders of the West have decided that the illegal aliens, wherever they may be coming from, are their constituency and not the voters who actually pay the bills? How is that possible? How is it possible? Well, you never heard of Quislings before? You never heard of Indian chiefs who sold the Indian tribes down the river for wampum and for a few bottles of booze and some rifles? Well, you never heard of this? You think that they're all above the law? You think they're clean? You got another guess coming if you think that all the leaders of the West are clean. They're as corrupt can be. That's why they're called leaders. That's how they rose to the top. They didn't get there because they're so nice and so clean and so pure. They're game players and they forgot who they represent. Sound familiar? Yeah. Talk to Mr. Boehner and ask why he gets away with this. How does he keep his position? Who knows? I don't know. Well, there's no media, that we know. Bubba and the Palm Beach pedophile, Clinton, that 20 phone numbers. This is not good. Now, it's not good for him, and certainly it's definitely Bill Clinton undermining Hillary again. Why? Because he's competitive. He doesn't want the alpha female to have a bigger library than him if she would become president. So he's photographed just a week ago with two slut whores. Pardon me, did I use the wrong words? Those are legal words, right? Look at the article. There he is with his arms around two girls from a bunny ranch. What are they, nuns? They're not normal women who just like sex. These are prostitutes. There's a word in the dictionary for prostitute. It's a little different than a woman who loves sex. It's not all the same.
Now, why would the ex-president of the United States, former president, rather, be photographed in Los Angeles a week ago with his arms around two of these girls? Why? With the tongue out. A leering tongue. Like one of those tongue jobs you see the entertainers do. That was used to be a big thing with the tongue. I don't understand that thing. Like a leering, lecherous tongue. The guy is the former president. His wife's going to run for presidency. This is definitely going to hurt her because it's all going to come up again. Cannot help. Only hurt. Definitely competition. That's a big story. I don't think it's going away. And as we learned over the weekend, this guy, what's his name? I forget the guy. Finkelstein. I don't know his name. Whose house it was, the sex slave guy. What's his name? Finkelstein, Ringstein, Hinkelstein. What's his name? Guys, come on. The guy who was behind the scandal, who had the houses with the thing. Whatever his name is. But just look it up on the internet while I'm groping here. Okay, but the thing is, Clinton visited them, a lot of other very famous, the Duke, the guy with the hat from England. What is he, a king? I don't know what he is even. What do they do over there? They don't work. They march around with top hats. And he was there apparently with the sex slave. Jeffrey Epstein, thanks. Jeffrey Epstein. So Epstein, according to the prosecutor, was secretly filming all of these guests as they had sex with these women in his mansions around the world. Now, if that is so, and if those are released, it's the end of a lot of careers and lives. Now, I don't know what they're going to do to stop those lawyers from releasing those tapes. I want you to think about that. The thought of some of those men on tapes, I'd rather never even think about. That'd be like worse than what happened to me outside the motel yesterday. Or close to it, let's put it to you that way. The thought of a lawyer from Harvard having sex, I'm sorry. I mean, he was dragged into it too, he claims. That he wasn't there. I wasn't there. He wasn't there. Nobody was there. A guy with the top hat from England, I wasn't there. We deny it completely. It absolutely didn't happen. He never met the queen. I wasn't there. No one saw me. She couldn't have seen me. I never went there. I don't know who she is. Although I'm on the manifest with her and I'm seen ogling with the tongue. It was not me. It was not a double. It wasn't someone didn't even look like. Clinton wasn't there, even though there's 21 phone numbers. Nobody was there. The guy from Harvard wasn't there. Nobody was there. Nobody. She was there alone. She was massaging herself. Nobody got massaged from the underage woman. Nobody. There wasn't even a house. There wasn't even a massage table. Nobody knows why this came up. How could it happen? It is not a scandal. Never met the queen. Just shows you she was invited to see the queen, and I'm banned from England. It shows you how clean the royal family is today, right? Did you hear this? She met the queen, according to this thing, invited in by the guy with the top hat, and I'm banned from entering the nation itself. But they have a 14-year-old masseuse, a 16-year-old masseuse there, into the whatever they call it. They don't have a White House. What do they have there? A palace? Houses they shouldn't own? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-SAVAGE.